You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past. I'm your host, Matt Pappas, certified life coach specializing in overcoming anxiety and trauma recovery. And this podcast is all about helping you move forward from what holds you back. Each week, you'll hear from coaches, clinicians, and advocates who've overcome tremendous odds and are now using their journey to inspire you throughout yours. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Are you ready? Let's do this. Today, I'm honored to welcome in my special guest, Kristen Walker. She is the CEO of the technology consulting firm Everything EHR and the founder of the Mental Health News Radio Network. She's also a survivor who's passionate about sharing her story and speaking out on the topics that nobody wants to discuss. Ever since I joined MHNR, I've been looking forward to talking with Kristen here on Beyond Your Past. So let's jump right into it and welcome her to the show as we discuss some of her survivor story, her struggles and triumphs, and of course, more about the network. So hey, Kristen, welcome to the show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm so glad to be on your show. And thanks for coming on mine, too. We're doing a switcheroo now.
Absolutely. I'm super stoked to talk with you. I've been looking forward to this podcast for quite a while now. And we are going to talk about not only the network that you started and, of course, that I'm a part of, and along with so many amazing podcasters, but we're going to talk about your past and being a survivor and how that kind of led you to the point of starting the Mental Health News Radio Network. So it's going to be an awesome show. I'm excited to share it with everybody. And I'll be sure to put links to the social media, to the network, everything in the show notes and in the blog post so everybody can definitely check it out. Awesome. So let's kind of start out with you and I are kind of kindred spirits, and that we're both survivors. And as we talked a little bit about when I was on your show, we'll kind of switch it now and talk a little bit about you being a survivor in your past and how that's kind of led you up to this point.
Okay, sure. Well, I was told this, and I fully believe it, knowing my family, that I was born right into trauma. In fact, the my birth was early because of a traumatizing event, and I came out feet first, and there was danger about cord being wrapped around my neck and all kinds of things. So I just came out the womb right into all kinds of, you know, mental illness stuff that runs rampant in our entire family. And about age five, my mother and my biological father divorced, and I was with him every other weekend. And there's all kinds of stuff around why was I left with this person when you knew how he was. But, you know, all of us survivors have those questions. And the abuse just with him, covert sexual abuse started, you know, around the time that I was left alone with him. I slept in the same bed with him until I was 12. And there was a lot of a covert sexual abuse and then overt sexual abuse, as well as just he loved to terrorize me, meaning take me to a movie that was definitely not a movie that you take a little kid, a horror movie of some kind, and then come home and reenact what happened in that movie. And I had to I knew that if I didn't do walk into the dark room or down the dark hallway, I just needed to do it and get it over with, because if I didn't, I was going to be bullied, called a baby, harassed, and so on. So it was just psychological, emotional, and sexual abuse that went on from the time I was five until I was about 12.
Such just incredible tragedy. And I know that you already know this, but, you know, I feel like I need to say you're just such an incredible survivor to be able to be so resilient, to come on to, this podcast and to share your story and so many other outlets to help inspire others. There are so many survivors that can relate to very similar things that you have been through. Everything that you mentioned is unfortunately so common. And the fact that we're even still here quite often sometimes still amazes me, even though I've been doing this work for a while and you've been doing it for a while. When you hear stories like yours and, you know, so many other survivors who have just been
literally to hell and back. Right. And somehow they've managed to survive and now talk about it and use their story to help inspire others. I've never ceased to be amazed by it.
I know. And it's so funny that I can just say it now. I mean, I'm 48, so obviously it's been many years, but I can just talk about this now. And I'm not trying to sound, you know, like, what is that, Bill Nye, the Science Guy, and X equals two. I don't mean to say the story like that, but I've been in so much therapy. I've had my, you know, my crying and screaming and group therapy and, you know, anything and everything to focus on, you know, healing this, and a ton of advocacy. I mean, I started speaking about sexual abuse in public and doing peer groups for sexual abuse survivors when I was in my early teens. So, you know, this isn't, it's easy for me to talk about it now without crying, but, you know, I still have my moments. Things will trigger me, even with all the therapy and all the speaking out and all the advocacy. Something new, you know, hit me at a different age, and, you know, it'll bring me to my knees for a bit. And I know now just to honor that. You know, honor that time and, okay, what am I supposed to learn? What piece, you know, is still in there that needs a little more healing for me to move on? So the fact that I know that now, instead of what I used to put myself through, oh, you've not over this yet. Come on, Kristen, you know, all the shame and stuff that we carry anyway, because we were abused. I'm so much more kind to myself and loving to my, I'm a parent to myself because my parents were not parents. I was the parent. So it's, you know, I'm much better about parenting myself now as an adult for when these issues come up again, because they will for the rest of your life. That's the lovely part of sexual abuse. It's the gift, that keeps on giving.
You just brought up so many amazing points, and I was thinking in my head, okay, now where can I go next? Where can I go next? I'm like,
sorry.
I'm okay, we go here and there, because like everything I have written down, I'm like, well, that's true, and that's true, and that's true. And you know, like the last podcast that I recorded a week ago with another survivor, she brought up a very similar topic that you did, and that is that, you know, we can sit here now and we can talk about it and we can share, and we're generally okay. Because we put in the hard work of healing and going to therapy and doing all the writing and the talking and, you know, doing all the stuff that you do in recovery. But then, you know, to get to the point where we can function on a daily basis and we can wake up every day and do what we have to do and generally be okay.
Right.
You know, and that's just great strides and healing. And it's a testament to the hard work that you've done, the hard work that, you know, the people that you've worked with have done on your behalf to help you. But it also, it's always bears repeating. It's something that I always believe in too, 100%. And that is, being a survivor is the unfortunate gift that keeps on giving. It's a lifelong, scenario. It's a lifelong thing that comes up. Triggers are always going to be there. Sometimes you're going to get knocked sideways and be like, well, holy shit, now what do I do?
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Have to kind of pause. Yeah, right. You have to pause and be like, okay, wait a minute. I've been here before. I felt this before, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, this would have thrown me for a loop and I'd be down the count for a week or a month or
a year.
Or a year, right. And now, you know, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I know how this feels. I'm going to go take care of myself, do some self-care, talk to somebody, do whatever it is. And as you mentioned, reparenting ourselves is so key, because as in your case and so many survivors, the parent who was supposed to be there taking care of us was either non-existent or they either were the ones that were causing the trauma in the first place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we interviewed Dr. Johnny's Webb, who talks about childhood emotional neglect. And man, I so resonated with her because that's what it was. Obviously, you're neglected if you're left with, you know, a pedophile every other weekend alone with this person. And then, you know, just my emotional needs were, you know, they were met by my wonderful grandmother. My telling of what happened to me at 12, I was the one who went and said, this is what's going on, Mom, you need to do something about it. And it's interesting. I'd like to share how that came about, because everybody has a different way in which they tell their story. With mine, I was binge eating at a very, very young age. That was my solace. I mean, food, was my comfort. And my grandmother, being with my grandmother, she was just the one that paid attention to me. And I had an aunt and uncle that really paid attention to me. The things that you're supposed to do as a parent to a little kid, you know, really pay attention to your child and be watching out for signs of trauma, obviously. So I'd been hiding food. I was never an overweight child. That wasn't my problem. I think it's probably because I was always running around, exercising, whatever. So the weight part didn't catch up to me until my 30s. But and boy, did it catch up. Let me tell you, it catches up at some point with emotional eating. But what I found fascinating was that the weekend that I told my mother what happened, my father had finally gone too far. I was feeling the obsession of his and stuff for a couple of years. And I had started locking the bathroom door when I would take a bath, which made him very angry. And he had left me some very pornographic material, more than his normal stacks of Playboy and Penthouse and Hustler, all over floor to ceiling in his apartment. This was, you know, the kind that you would get and wrapped in a brown paper bag from a foreign country, that kind of pornography, and a picture of himself with an erection. And I just got this overwhelming feeling of, I need to get out of this now, that, you know, this, we're reaching the point of no return with what he's doing. And so I came home and my intention was not to tell. It didn't even occur to me that I could tell anyone. It wasn't that I felt like I should be, I did feel ashamed and all that stuff, of course, as you do, but it just didn't occur to me that I should tell anyone, could tell anyone. I thought that all fathers did this with their daughters until that evening when I realized this is life and death now with him, with the raging and all that. So I came home from that weekend with him, and I was getting in serious trouble for hoarding food in my room. And this food was found, and I was just being blasted for how that would look to other people at, you know, me hoarding food. I was supposed to be selling it for YMCA camp or something like that. And I remember at 12, this is how much of a parent I was at 12. I remember sitting there and looking at my mother and thinking, why do you not care about the fact that I'm hoarding food? Why are you more concerned with what the neighbors think? Why do you not care that I don't wash my hair, that I don't brush my teeth, that my room is always disgusting? Like, why don't you care? I'm thinking that because I'm getting angrier and angrier for getting in trouble for this stuff. And I finally said, well, if you think all that's bad, Dad's molesting me and he has been for years. So my telling of it was kind of like, wake up, lady. There's a lot of stuff going on here that isn't good, and somebody needs to step up and protect me. Now, to her credit, thankfully, I was in therapy immediately, and I didn't have to, you know, deal with him or see him again. But I always find it interesting to hear how people, you know, find out or what their story is around the revealing of how they, of their abuse, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I find it incredible too. And the circumstances that we end up telling somebody and reaching out for help aren't always ideal or planned. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just kind of, sometimes there's a breaking point. And, you know, as you mentioned, you thought that every dad did, you know, the things that your dad did, you know, probably men in general, I would imagine, which we'll get to in a minute. But it's this whole thing of, when do you tell somebody and when do you get over that fear and get the confidence to do so? And who do you tell and how do you say it? And sometimes it just kind of comes out and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I just told somebody. And, you know, thankfully for you, you know, you were able to get in therapy right away and start working on it. But, you know, for so many, when they tell, they either get blown off or it's no big deal. Yep. Or you end up telling the wrong person who just does nothing or unfortunately makes it even worse. And so, but, you know, I'm just so glad that you were able to tell somebody and actually begin to kind of work through that. And I'm kind of curious here before we move on How did this affect your view of men in general and the relationships that you would have in the future?
Yeah, good question. My view of men before like age 10 was that they held all the power. So I wanted to be a boy. I wanted to be a boy. Every movie I went to see, I identified with the, you know, with the male hero in the movie. I wanted to be that person because to me that represented having power, because, you know, it wasn't just my biological father, my uncles, and there were other neighbors. I swear, you know, like when you're a kid that's being abused and you think that that's normal, you're wearing a sign on your head that says, oh, please come and try to abuse me to other predators out there, which is so unfortunate, but that does happen to many of us. So I, for a long time, wanted to be a man, and because, hey, they're the powerful ones. And then, you know, of course, that changed, and I'm heterosexual. I'm attracted to men. And my choice of men was just, you know, a reflection of what I thought I deserved. I picked, in terms of love relationships, I did well there. My husband has been my only husband. He's my ex-husband now. He has his own abuse issues, and he was wonderful, very supportive. So in that case, it was good, but I still surrounded myself with a lot of older men and men who were totally and completely inappropriate with me, and me constantly trying to figure out ways to get away from them without inciting or eliciting their anger. And it's taken me until I had a son when I was 18 or just shy of turning 19. I had my only child, my son, and I had to make a conscious decision. I did not want him to be ashamed about his sex because of my issues with men. So that is where I really made a turning point in my therapy to focus on, okay, whatever issues I have with men, whatever biases, whatever stuff I have got to work on this stuff because I don't want to infect my son with my stuff. And that was a big turning point for me, but nothing happened overnight. I mean, I didn't actually have male friends, any male friends, until my 40s. And now I probably have more male friends than I do female friends. And it's wonderful. But it's just taken a lot of work, like a lot of trial and error.
Oh my God, a ton of trial and error. This whole survivor thing is nothing but trial and error. I swear, yes. You get up, you fall down, you get knocked sideways, you get up again, you're good for a while, you fall down again. I swear, it just,
yeah.
It's all trial and error. And something you had mentioned, which was something that I have gone through too, is, and also something actually that a lot of survivors feel as well and go through a phase or a time with, is being attracted to somebody who we think we deserve. Man, that just like totally hit home for me. I mean, I've talked with people about this. I've gone through a time where the women that I was attracted to or the ones that I was trying to get involved with or whatever were all ones who were not healthy for me for one reason or another. And it wasn't, you know, that they were bad people or anything. It's just that they weren't in, you know, the right, personality or whatever the case may be for me. And I was attracted to people who were more so treating me a way that I felt I deserved, right, based on my past. And man, that took me a long time. And honestly, it's still a struggle at times because, I mean, I'm single, I'm 46.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I tell you, like, dating in your 40s sucks. Like, can I just say that? It really sucks.
You know, here's my thing. I don't date. I had, when I officially, like, you know, my ex-husband and I stopped being partners 8 years ago, but he's he's my best friend in the whole world. We're never going to be romantic partners again, but we've just been through so much together and we just love each other. Believe me, we both wanted each other to get hit by a Mack truck a long time ago, mm-hmm. but that's all, you know, in the past. But I did try that whole dating thing in the 8 years that we weren't together. And that was so telling for me that, oh, Lordy, I am not, I got work to do, because the men that I I didn't fall in love with them. I was love bombed by them. A lot of they were narcissists, like malignant narcissists, sociopaths. I mean, all my dad issues came right on out with these people. And I just finally now I'm like, you know what? I need to date me for a long time. And being partnered with someone is not the be all and end all of everything. It just isn't. That's a fallacy that's created by our society. If I meet someone and I want to be with them and they want to be with me, great. I'm not saying no to that, but I don't subscribe to the, oh, well, when you find that right guy, I just know that's a fallacy.
I hate that too, because you're right. Like, I'm in a similar situation. And I've realized that I need to, you know, as you mentioned, date myself and take care mm-hmm. of myself. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on in my life with the podcast and my coaching and, you know, all kinds of other things that really take up a lot of time. And, you know, I have to make sure to give to do self-care with my, you know, for myself. Yeah. And, you know, same with you, of course, I'm sure. And it's, you know, it's not always about this whole whenever you meet somebody and, you know, you have to find somebody to be your partner to feel complete and all that crap. Right. Like, it's all just crap. It really is.
How you doing, my friend? This is Matt, your host right here on Beyond Your Past, a podcast all about helping you move forward from what holds you back. If you enjoy these shows, please consider subscribing and leaving a review. I would so appreciate it. Feel free also to contact me anytime. You can do so via my website, beyondyourpast.com. I'd love to hear from you. And now let's get back to the show.
And, you know, we're sexual abuse survivors, so obviously we're going to have some issues around the act of sex. So, and I definitely do. And for it's been a really interesting and wonderful journey for me to even learn how to masturbate without feeling guilty or like I'm doing something dirty or to all that stuff. And that's taken a long time. And it's no surprise to me that I just started a new show on the network called Mental Health After Dark. And it's about sexuality and a lot of the things that, you know, the fetishes and whatever, not stuff I'm into, but things that I find fascinating because I obviously through my work am, you know, working on my healing and a lot of things to do with sex make me really uncomfortable. And this is my way of pushing myself out of those, you know, those places because I don't attract predators anymore into my life. I attract men like you, wonderful, amazing men that are healthy and open and vulnerable and talk about their stuff. And so I don't have to worry about the attraction, you know, inviting in predators anymore, but I do need to I still need to do things that help me heal those areas that were damaged by the predators that were in my life. And one of those big areas, of course, is sex.
That's a huge, huge topic. And, you know, obviously a problem for so many. I mean, being survivors, we both know the very act of it can be cringeworthy.
Yes.
And, you know, and I mean, you made like the absolute perfect segue into my next part, because I was going to ask you about the mental health after dark. And then of course, going into the network itself. But yeah, I think that's something that I'm definitely going to check out. I'm excited for you to be able to share this part of mental health that, I mean, let's face it, being a survivor is not something people want to talk about, generally speaking.
Right.
You know, we're not walking down the street downtown with a sandwich board that says, "Hey, I'm the survivor." Although sometimes we feel like we have like a, you know, yes, a bullseye on our chest or whatever.
Right.
As you mentioned, but I think, yeah, the topic of sex or being intimate or relationships in general, no matter what type, it's so difficult because there's so much of a lack of trust that, yes, was, you know, brought up because of the stuff that we went through. And as you and I both know, that isn't something that gets, you know, kind of worked through very easily and takes a long, long time. And even when you think you have all your shit together and everything is good to go, something knocks, boom, you backwards. Yeah. And you're, yeah, like, okay, I still have stuff to work on. So, yeah, I'm excited about this mental health after dark show. I really am.
I am too, because they're so, I'm so respected and loved and, you know, by the men in my life, and I respect and love them too. And, but I still carry this thing, and I know it's there, and I'm working on it in therapy, where, you know, I really am not comfortable being thin yet. I just, I don't like when someone's attracted to me. Because it hasn't turned out well in the last, you know, it didn't turn out well as a kid at all. Cause and it didn't, anytime I've gotten, you know, more thin and so on, I really like all of a sudden it's like danger, danger, danger. And so I carry weight purposely as protection. And I'm okay with that. Like I'm totally okay with that. However, it either needs to stop blocking me from being intimate with someone because out of embarrassment of my body or whatever, or I need to be okay with taking the steps to be thinner. And you know what? Here's the reality. No matter what weight I am, it's going to take a lot for me to feel comfortable being naked with someone because of what happened as a child, whether I'm thin, heavy, whatever, it just will. And I want to work on those things. And that's, you know, like why I want to do this show, but I'll tell you who my host is in a second. It's so crazy to me that I would do this. Of course I would do this, but those are things that we think about. There's already body shaming out there, but you add to early childhood sexual abuse to that, especially by a parent, and talk about body shaming, that takes it to a whole new level.
Oh my God, body shaming, right? Like, are you kidding me? I mean, we could do a whole series of shows just on that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
And I mean, honestly, like all the topics that we've covered so far, we could do a series of shows on. So I'm definitely going to have you back on the future. But I want to talk more about the network in general. And sure. Of course, you know, about the Mental Health After Dark and, of course, the Mental Health News Radio Network, how that got started, because I think it's an incredible resource that's just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm honored to be a part of it and have this show on there. And, you know, it is kind of like a family so far. I mean, even yes. though it really is in its infancy in terms of how long it's been around. But man, like it's the work that you are doing, the team around you, everybody coming together. I'm just so excited for where this is headed. So maybe share a little bit about how you got started with it, your vision, and pretty much talk as much as you want.
Gotcha. Hopefully I don't put anyone to sleep. So I was working in a really in that 8-year period with men, I had my first interaction with what I knew to be someone who's a sociopath. He was married and he was hitting on me constantly, touching, coming up behind me and rubbing my shoulders. And I had been in technology as a CEO for years and I dealt with all kinds of baloney like that. But this was the first time, but I was married at the time. So I guess I carried the protection of, well, I have a husband and so I could get out of it. Well, this is the first time that it was just me and I didn't know what to do about it. And I'm like, you're an advocate about sexual abuse. How is this happening to you? No, I shamed myself for it. But anyway, the point of that is it was awful. It was an awful experience. Narcissistic abuse is very real. And it just inspired me to want to use my voice again. I had stopped speaking about sexual abuse and about predators and about all kinds of things, mental health, for many years. And so thank you to that dude. He knows who he is for doing what he did, because it just made me turn on a microphone and go, I am going to start interviewing everybody I know about mental health and everybody I know about psychological abuse. And I created Mental Health News Radio. I had no clue what I was doing, like no clue. I had no clue to turn it into a business. I already had a full-time business that I still have, a consulting firm in technology. And I was doing that full-time. And I mean, my early shows, every show, because we've got like 500 shows out and we've deleted some, but every show, I mean, there are shows that I've done in a full-on panic attack where I've been triggered, where I'm working out my stuff on a show with someone. And it was just important for me to do that. And the response has been, oh my God, some people have criticized that and say, why would you be so personal and so open? And I'm like, look, I have been talking about my personal stuff since I was a kid, and I know that using your voice is what saves your ass. I mean, it just does. And if my journey helps someone else, even if they find me completely irritating and don't want to hear my personal garbage, that's fine too. But if it helps someone else feel like they're not alone, fantastic. So anyway, when I started my show, I thought, well, if my mailman and my neighbor listen to it, you know, great. And it just started getting more and more and more and more popular and listened to around the world. And I probably my connects in the business of behavioral health, helped make it more popular because I went to a lot of mental health conferences and I was speaking about technology and I would podcast from the biggest conferences in mental health and addiction. And so I just, just became more and more well known, and I would interview their keynotes. So I got to interview Dr. Gabor Maté and, you know, just people that are high up the food chain in terms of their sort of celebrity in behavioral health. And anytime I would interview someone like that, it would shine a spotlight on all the people that aren't celebrities that deserve to have their story shared too. So it just kept going along. And then one day, a couple of years ago, this phenomenal electronic health records company in mental health called Zen Charts. I hit it off with the guys that run the company. I love these guys. They came to me and said, "We want to sponsor your show. We love what you're doing. We want to pay for you to do commercials." And I was like, "What? You could help me pay for this thing? That's amazing." Mm-hmm. And then we had another business come to us and another one. Like, we didn't start soliciting sponsors until late last year. Everything has come to us, and we've turned down a lot of sponsors, like addiction companies handing me big fat checks and me going, no. And then finding out 2 weeks later that listening in my gut was good because they're being sued. So I don't let just anybody go near my baby. But anyway, that all kept happening. And then I got to a place where I was like, what's the next evolution here? Because I'm burning out, burning the candle at both ends here with technology company and doing my podcast and a lot of people wanting my attention for the podcast. And I just started doing shows, co-hosting shows, bringing people on as co-hosts. And the seed was kind of planted that, okay, well, I could do additional shows. And then guests came to me and said, "Listen, you know what you're doing." And I was like, "I do. We want you to create a network and we want you to produce our podcasts." And I was like, "Hell no. Like, no way. You're bananas and I am not. Oh my God, I'm not doing it." I was kind of ticked. I was like, how dare they just think they can show up and talk and I do all the work. And it was my ex-husband who said, "Honey, they didn't say they wanted you to do it for free. They said they would pay you. So what is all this resentment about?" And it was really about fear. It was like, how can I do this? I did have some pretty nasty people I knew it was a good idea. I created the network. Okay. So I created it in February of 2017. And I was definitely afraid. But I knew it was a good idea because before I even incorporated the thing, I had some pretty narcissistic dudes come in and try to take it over and tell me I'm incompetent and that my weight goes up and down too much for me to even think about running something of this magnitude. And, and my response to that was, I'm going to say that like Oprah has gone up and down with her weight, her whole career, and she's African-American and a woman, and she seems to be doing pretty good with the media company. So I'm going to follow that and not listen to your, and no, I'm not handing over the CEO position to you for something I haven't even created yet. It was ridiculous. But what was great about it was it made me realize this is a good idea. This is a good idea and you can do this. So about February 2017, I thought, well, I have five shows, and you know, it's called MHNR Network, which is Mental Health News Radio Network. It's called that for a reason, because every show needs to be focused on some aspect of mental health. That could be addiction. That could be mental health and sports. That could be mental health and social media. That could be sexual abuse, anything. Okay. Anything in any country. And I thought, okay, if I have five shows by the end of 2017, I will feel really good about myself. And we had 15 by August.
Incredible. It's incredible.
And now we have like 30 in the queue that want to join. And we let people come on for free sometimes too, because they already have a podcast and they just want to be part of our network and be part of the family. And, you know, there's we help with getting sponsorships for shows, and that some of that revenue goes to the network, of course, but the cornerstone of all of it is the advocacy, 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 advocacy. That's why I do this. I did not do this because I give two shits about owning a Ferrari, and I'm in mental health anyway. Like, hello, that's not a career you choose if you, you know, care about being in a mansion. So anyway, that now we're, the network is up, it's running, we're producing shows not only for individual podcasters, but we're also doing it for like McLean Hospital, which is part of Harvard Medical School. We're doing it for a big autism center. So we're doing it for individual people as well as, you know, big organizations and people that come on the network either do their own thing like you do. You know, you don't need us to edit your shows and produce them and whatever. You do all that yourself. We just added your show to our network because I wanted to give what you do any help whatsoever. If our show could help you reach more people, then that's what I wanted. So we have some podcasters like that and then others where we do everything for them.
Yeah, I'm incredibly honored to be a part of this. And as you mentioned, there are just so many shows on there. As I'm on the website now, which is mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com, there are just show after show of all different types of topics. As you mentioned, advocacy and recovery and addiction and sports and so many people telling their story. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've gained a whole new following ever since I've been on here, and I'm honored to be on this network, you know, to have been on your show, to have you here on Beyond Your Past, and to just be part of something that's growing. Because as you mentioned, at the heart of being a podcaster and sharing our story, which you know, is really what it's all about, it's not so much that we all, you know, that we're focusing on trying to interview the next big gigantic superstar in the media world. It's about talking to every survivor you can possibly think of and getting their story out and giving them a platform when so many of them, I can't tell you how many people on my show have never told their story before ever.
Yeah.
And you know, you give them a voice and they share, and then the response is just overwhelmingly incredible because, you know, from the first time that you open your mouth and you kind of put that shame aside for 30, 40 minutes and talk about it, you're like, wow, it's empowering. And all the shows that I've listened to on the network, they're all inspiring. Everybody does an amazing job. It's just an incredible thing. And I can't wait to see what's next with it.
Well, you know, what's cool. And I know I have no problem saying this. I love interviewing people with a big following. I love interviewing celebrities. I love it. And there's one reason I love it, because they bring a bigger audience to what everybody else is doing. That's the only reason. And they're a human being. I mean, I do not celebritize. I did that a little bit in the beginning. And then I got to know people and I was like, they go to the toilet just like me. So if somebody sees me like getting excited about interviewing someone who's considered a celebrity, the reason is because I am thinking, oh my God, they're going to share this on their social media, and that is going to make people go back and visit the site and see all of our podcasters. I mean, that's the thought in my head all the time, is like, okay, this puts all of us out there. So I so can't stand competition. I'm so not a competitive person. I'm like the cheerleader for everybody. I want you all to do better than me. I want your shows to do better than my show. I want if you get some big, you know, exposure somewhere, guess what? That helps everybody else. I mean, it's awesome. So it's a very altruistic way to live. And some people think it's magical thinking, but I blossom in this type of an environment. And what I've seen from everybody else that ends up here, they feel like that too. I mean, don't you feel like just like we all just really care about each other? And also, I don't tell anybody what to do. Like, it's your freaking show. It's not mine. If you want advice, I'll give it, but do I ever call you and go, Matt, now listen, blah, 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 blah.
No, not ever.
Yeah. That's not my business, you know? So anyway, I just flower in that kind of a loving, supportive environment. And I want to just keep doing that and see this evolve and see us. Maybe we create networks within a network. So maybe we have a sexual abuse survivors network under the Mental Health News Radio umbrella and have a bunch of, you know, sexual abuse survivor shows. I mean, who knows? This could just keep going and going and going and going. And at the end of the day, what is the point of all of it? To reach as many people as possible and hopefully help them on their healing journey.
It just gives me chills. Like, it really does. And I feel like I blossom as well. I mean, when I first started this, I used to do sports podcasting like years and years ago, and I enjoyed it and it was fun. And then when I got into sharing my story and the first time I ever picked up a mic, and, you know, I got this little cheap headset mic and I brought up Audacity and, you know, I just started talking and, yeah. You know, I was putting podcasts up, and then of course it grew and grew. And, you know, now I'm headed to, conference in Chicago at the end of April called Healthy Voices. And I'm going to try and get some podcasting done there and get some guests. Oh, I know. Isn't it awesome? I'm so excited to be a part of that, but you're right. It's all about just everybody growing and sharing and riding the coattails of everybody else.
Yes.
And I think that's just what is so great about this network and why, you know, all of us who are here are honored to be a part of it. Honored that you allowed us to join you on this journey, and we're, I'm excited for what's ahead for all of us and to help continue to give voices to every survivor who needs a voice and wants to share. And I think that's really what it's all about, as you mentioned. So I could go on and on for another couple of hours, but I know we're kind of running out of time. So I'm definitely going to have you back, Kristen, because we got so much more to talk about. Like, it's not even fun.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. We have really good chemistry, but we're just real comfortable with each other, which is nice. It's nice. You know what it's like as a host when you're like, oh, and I'm not putting any guests down because I don't mean to do that. Some people are comfortable speaking and some people get real nervous, but you know, those interviews where you're like, oh shit, I am just having to tap dance to make this.
Oh my God. Yep. It's like, you're like, okay. Like, I mean, I think I'm almost more exhausted if I haven't slept in a week. Once sometimes that happens, but
yes, but we flow really well because we both do this. So that's great. So yeah, I'm proud that you're what you're doing. I love that you're a male that talks about sexual abuse. I mean, it's just, that's so brave. And so it's, you know, it was no brainer for me. I was like, well, how soon can you join us? So thank you for that.
Absolutely. I am honored, as I said. And yeah, let's keep talking about that whole like survivor network type of thing within the network here, because that could be something really cool.
Yeah. You and I'll have a meeting about that.
Yes, we will. Definitely. Yep.
I think you should run it.
I would be happy to run with that in just ways that would just be incredible. So we'll definitely talk more about that in the future. But it kind of goes without saying, thank you so much, Kristen, for being here. I cannot wait to have you on the show again. I will put all the links to all the social media and the links to the show and to your show and everything in the show notes and in the blog post. So why don't we wrap it up? You can tell everybody any kind of last minute thoughts that you want to share, and then we will get out of here.
My last minute thoughts are, use your voice. And if you want to hear, you know, these are your listeners, Matt. If you want to hear some of some other additional amazing podcasts, you can go to mentalhealthnewsradionetwork.com. Right at the top, it says our shows, and that gives you a list of a whole slew of people just like Matt and I that, oh my God, these are such good human beings. You know, some of them are early stage podcasters and some of them have been doing it for a while. Give them a chance because they're honing their craft. But it's amazing content. So all I can ask is for, you know, any of your listeners, please share, because that's how we get the word out.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Information shared on this podcast should not be considered as a substitute for professional medical help or mental health counseling. If you've ever considered working with a certified coach, or if you simply have questions about how working with a coach can benefit you, just head on over to beyondyourpast.com for more information and to schedule your free introductory session. We'll work together to figure out what's holding you back so that you can realize your full potential and discover the authentic you. Remember, you are worth it. Achieving your goals and waking up each day knowing that you can handle what's coming and thrive is something that everyone deserves. So take that first step and contact me today, and let's do this. Talk to you soon.